Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 24. It is a pleasure for me to stand before you to proclaim the Word of God. It's such a pleasure because there are many things that compete for our attention. It may be the perfectly normal things of life, family, job, health. It can also be those things that the world has created to attack us through what we would call the eye gate. The things that we see, the films, the television, the streaming services, and the advertisements, and the many things that go on in our lives that distract us. One thing that I think you can clearly say about modern man is that there is very little time to think with silence. It is the habit of many to, as soon as you get in the car, to turn the radio on, to, as soon as you get home, to turn something on that makes noise, that will distract you from the quiet of life. And I think that's a wonderful tool of Satan, to distract us from thinking, to distract us from having times where we ponder the things of God, where we think about the things that we've heard, the things that we've seen. God, when He chose to communicate to us, could have chosen anything. He could have chosen an amazing play to perform. He could have created television. He could have created film. He could have created anything that we have today many centuries ago, many millennia ago. He could have done it because He is God. But He chose not to. He chose, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God chose, through His wisdom, when mankind was far off from Him, He said, in my wisdom, the best way to communicate to mankind the things I want them to know, The best way to communicate to them my Son Jesus Christ is through preaching. Now that certainly encompasses what I'm doing now, but it doesn't just encompass that. It encompasses more than that. When you speak to a loved one, it encompasses that. When you speak to a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, or even someone you may not like, it encompasses that. God chose by the foolishness of speaking His Word to communicate His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, for most of us that are sitting here today, if you are a Christian, you are a Christian because someone spoke to you. You heard about Jesus Christ. Now, there's always going to be some rare occasions where someone comes to Christ just through reading the Bible or some written message. But that's invariably the smallest of minorities. Most of us, if we call ourselves a Christian and we trust the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for our salvation, have come to Christ because someone, whether it's someone like me standing up here, or some loved one, or even someone you barely know, has told you that you're a sinner and told you that you needed Christ. And upon hearing that, the Spirit used those words, the Holy Spirit used those words and convicted you. And at some point brought you to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what God's choice was. He chose to use two little things on your body as the main means to communicate who He was. And that is your ears. It's fascinating, isn't it? Because what we most of the time want to do is talk. We most of the time want to fill the empty voids with noise. But God wants to communicate through hearing. And we see that. That's what we're looking at this morning. I'm going to read for us again the passage that we read earlier because I want you to hear it. I want you to take it in. Now, upon the first day of the week, very, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. They talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Pardon me. Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. It's a curious thing, isn't it? People sometimes ask us, why do we celebrate Easter? Why do we gather together in such a way? And we celebrate because of what is written in this passage, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're told in Scripture that he is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God being three in one, one God, three persons, like you with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, in confederation with the Father and the Spirit, said, I will go and become a man. I will go and humble myself to redeem sinners. The Bible teaches us that we're all sinners, that every one of us were born sinners. And not only were we born sinners, we have sinned indeed. We have confirmed it by our actions, by the things we have done and by the things we haven't done. The Bible declares that because we have sinned, the wages of that sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, being cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And that there is no hope beyond Jesus Christ, beyond Him. That He was the one that would come, that He would be the Redeemer. He was born under the law, but not just born under the law, He obeyed the law in a way that we could not, that we didn't have the ability to do. And in so doing, not only did He obey the law, He fulfilled the law in all its aspects, in every way, every jot, every tittle, every little T, every little I was dotted. He fulfilled it all in every way. He was perfect with no sin. The law says that the penalty of sin is death, but He had no sin. And so when He goes to the cross, why does He go? It's not for His own sin. He has none. He didn't go because the law said He must go. No, He went for those that couldn't fulfill the law, for those that couldn't keep the law. He didn't break the law and not deserving of death, so He goes to Calvary to redeem those that believe upon Him. We call it substitutionary atonement. He substituted Himself for each one who believes. He atones for their sin. He takes my punishment. But He doesn't just take my punishment. He gives me His righteousness. According to the passage that we've now read twice, the grave could not hold Him. He had power. He had victory over the grave. On the third day, He rises again, showing that He had power over the grave to all who believe, but not just over the grave, over their sin. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that He died in your place, took your punishment, and gives you His righteousness and life in return. That's the gospel of the Lord. That's why we gather together on this day. Easter is the first Sunday after the Passover. It's following the Jewish calendar, and we celebrate on Easter because of that. Not only do we celebrate on Easter, we celebrate every Sunday. It's a resurrection Sunday every Sunday. Why do we meet on the first day of the week? It's because that's the day that Jesus rose. He is risen indeed. He rose from the dead. Now, the question I have for you is, did you hear me? Now, it's a funny question because everybody, I'm not a timid speaker as far as I know, everybody heard me, didn't you? You just heard the gospel of Jesus Christ with your ears. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But did you truly hear me? You see, there's a difference. There's almost two types of hearing, if you will. There's the hearing of the ear and there's the hearing of the heart. And there's a clear difference in Scripture between those things. Because you'll see throughout the Old Testament and the New, people constantly hear what God has to say. And then they turn around and do something completely different. Or they'll hear what God has to say, and then they'll act as though what God had said means nothing. That is not hearing with the heart. That is not hearing what the Spirit has to say. That's hearing with the ear and letting it go. It's like looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. It happens to us all. How many times, I don't have to do it because I don't have any, but how many times throughout the day do you look in the mirror so you can adjust your hair? It happens a lot, doesn't it? But I don't have to do that, but I have a little here. I might want to adjust that, what's going out of place. Because we forget what we look like. It's so easy to do, and especially in, it seems odd, but with all the reflections we have in the modern day. It was different back in 2,000 years ago. But you think about that. That's as quick as the hearing of the ear goes out. It comes in that one ear and out the other, as our forebears used to say. Why is that? Because we're not listening with the heart. And that's what we want to think about this morning. In the Old Testament, having ears to hear is used. It's just said differently. You think about what God says to Moses in Exodus 15:26. Moses throws the tree into the waters of Marah, and God speaks and says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Jehovah thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah that healeth you. Now, that's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? He says, if you do this, if you'll listen to me, then I will do to you what I did to the Egyptians. Now, what happened with Israel? He did to them what he did unto the Egyptians. Why? Because they didn't listen. They didn't listen with the heart. They listened with the ear. They said, oh yeah, we'll do it all. Well, they hadn't even really let it settle in. And they're already proclaiming they'll do it. In Deuteronomy 5, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. We ought to be of the same listening, shouldn't we? Hear what God has to say, and it should change you. You should be different. There is so much that goes on today in the name of Christianity, and you see an amazing outpouring of emotion, an amazing outpouring of what looks like genuineness. And then a few hours later, you see the same people, and they're no different than they were before that outpouring of emotion. See, that doesn't sound right. Why? Because it's not entering the heart. Because what enters the heart should change us. If you are a Christian today and you look at yourself now, compared to where you were when the Lord saved you, you ought to be different. You shouldn't be the same person you were. Why? Because the Word of God changes you, whether you want it to or not, it does it. He keeps working and moving, because the things that we believe change the things that we do. Throughout the Scriptures, in the passage that we read, what does Jesus say to those two on the road to Emmaus? He expounds to them all the things concerning Him. In Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. He had told them all those things before. And He's telling them all those things again. Why? Because it hadn't sunk in. It hadn't gone to the heart. They were hearing with the ears, just these physical ears, not the hearing of the ears of faith. The time would fail us if we looked at David and the Psalms and and Kings and all of the Old Testament to look at how God speaks about you and I hearing Him. Listening. And not just listening and letting it go and go, come and go, but truly behaving differently because we have heard from God. Do a word search on the word ear in the Old Testament and the New. And you'll be fascinated at how much is written concerning how much God wants you to listen. You think about the famous words that Jesus uses. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Well, what does that mean? Verily means truly. Truly, truly, I say unto you. What then is your response to that? What is He seeking from you when He says, truly, truly, I say unto you? That you should hear what He has to say. Because what He has to say is the truth. Not only is it truly said from Him, it is the Word of God, spoken by the Son of God. He wants you to hear it. He wants you to listen. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus uses another phrase. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's a funny way to put it, isn't it? He that has ears to hear. Well, other than those that have unfortunately been born deaf or have gone deaf, don't we all have ears to hear? Don't we all sitting here now, aren't you all here because you can hear my voice? You have ears to hear, but do you have ears to hear? Do you truly listen? When speaking about John the Baptist, he uses that phrase in Matthew 11. When giving the parable of the sower, the sowing the seed, he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Here is the truth. Make sure it hits home. He does it with the parable of the wheat and the tares. He says it, quoting Isaiah chapter 6. Mark says it when he says about putting a bushel over your candle. All these different times. One of the greatest rebukes you'll find in the Gospels is Jesus rebuking the apostles. Not the Pharisees. The apostles, the disciples. They get into a boat with Him and are going to the other side. And Jesus starts to warn them about the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Herodians. And the disciples say, oh my goodness, we forgot bread. We forgot to bring the bread. Behold, all we have is one little bun. Among all of us, it's not enough. And Jesus looks at them, and you can almost hear sarcasm in his voice. And he says, do you not have ears to hear? How many loaves did we start off with the feeding of the 5,000? There were five loaves, and how many did we feed? 5,000. How many baskets full did we take up? And then we get the 4,000 with seven loaves. How many baskets full did we take up? And you're now thinking that I'm talking about not having enough bread? Don't you have ears to hear what it is I'm saying to you? It's not about the physical, it's about the spiritual. He uses it in Luke. He uses it in the book of Revelation when he's speaking to the churches in chapter 2 and 3. Over and over and over again. What is the most important thing Jesus came to do? He came to die for sinners and to tell you the truth. To tell you so you would listen. It's not about the miracles. Constantly, mankind wants miracles. They want the show. They want the spectacle. But invariably, Jesus is about the teaching. Before the feeding of the 5,000, how long was Jesus teaching the multitude? 3 days he was teaching them. 3 days. I can't imagine sitting under the sound of the teaching of Jesus for 3 days, then feeding 4,000 people with seven little loaves, and then be worried about whether or not we had enough bread. Doesn't that seem unfathomable? But we're not different. We go about our lives as though we hadn't heard. There are a number of people in the resurrection story that did not hear with spiritual ears. The leaders of the Jews in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. They come to Pilate. In verse 62 it says, now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Notice that the Pharisees heard Jesus when he spoke. They remembered his words. They remembered them very clearly. They say to Pilate, he said, after 3 days I will rise again. They didn't believe, though, did they? The hearing of the ear didn't go to the hearing of the heart. They saw all the things that he had done. They heard his words, and yet did not believe. So they go to Pilate and ask for a guard to be set upon the tomb because they don't want him to rise again. They don't want to see that happen because they didn't hear with ears of faith. The women that had been with Jesus during his ministry, back in our passage in Luke chapter 24 in verses 6 through 8, it says, he is not here but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Think about that for a moment. If they had remembered his words before and had believed them, if they had heard with ears of faith, would they have ever gone to the tomb with the spices? They may have gone to the tomb to see if they could catch a glimpse of him coming out. But they wouldn't have gone to the tomb with the spices to anoint his body. They went to anoint his body assuming he was still dead. They had heard his words. And even when the angels remind them, they suddenly, oh yes, that's right. That's what he said. It comes back to them that those things were true that Jesus had said. They came to fulfill the custom of the Jews in their day. It was Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mother Mary and Joanna, Salome, the mother of James and John, besides other women that aren't named. All they had come to do this deed, honoring Jesus, but in trying to serve him, they had forgotten something very critical, to truly believe the things he said. To honor him with their belief more so than any other service that they might do. And they're not alone. Peter and the other disciples are no different. They're in the same boat, if you will. In verse 11, what are we told? When the women go back, it says, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Now, how many times did Jesus say to the 12, "I am going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be handed into the chief priests, the scribes, and the rulers, and they're going to kill me, and the third day I'll rise again"? He said it over and over and over again. It wasn't any hidden situation that he was going to Jerusalem to die. It was clear and obvious. And yet, they don't believe. They think it's idle tales. In Mark's account, we're told bluntly that the disciples did not believe the women when they returned. They didn't believe them. We're told in verse 41 of our passage that after showing them his hands and his feet, they still had trouble believing. This time it was for joy, but they still couldn't come to grips with the fact that Jesus was risen. They had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. Why couldn't they believe that he could raise himself? They were no different. And then you think about Thomas, and it's almost so sad for Thomas' sake. Because what do we call him? We don't just say Thomas, we say Doubting Thomas, as though we would be any different. Because he says, after the other disciples say, "He's risen indeed, we've seen him, we've touched him, he's eaten with us," he says, "I'm not going to believe until I touch his hands, until I put my hand into his side. I'm not believing until then." After all that Jesus had said, time and time and time again, there is a lack of belief, a lack of hearing with spiritual ears. The two on the road to Emmaus in our passage, Jesus is walking with them, and they're not allowed to see him in who he is at this point. And Jesus describes to them all that he is in the scriptures, going over all these details. And they don't understand until their eyes are open. But what do they say? "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked?" It's as though they wanted to believe. Their spirits were saying, "No, you must trust." But their conscious mind was saying, "This can't be. We won't listen. We can't hear it." There is, and you say, "Well, how is this possible? They all are in the same boat." Well, actually, they're not all in the same boat. Because there's actually one who did hear, who did listen with a spiritual ear, who heard what Jesus said and believed what he said. In John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, we're told about a situation where Jesus, the week of his death, then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare that what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Mary did this thing, anointing Jesus with this spikenard, for a purpose. What was the purpose? Jesus tells us it's for his burial. That was her purpose in doing it for him. Because she heard. She heard with ears to hear. It went to her heart that Jesus was going to the cross, and that the only time to anoint him for his burial was before he gets there. And so, at some point, we don't know how long, but she makes a plan. Because she takes this box, this alabaster box filled with this ointment, that in today's money would cost about 30,000 pounds. It's probably her dowry for whenever she gets married. And instead of saving it for that, she says, "I am going to use it to anoint my Lord for his burial." And the day comes, and the Spirit urges her, and she goes before Jesus Christ and anoints him. Because she recognizes he's about to die. Everything he has said is about to be fulfilled. And guess who wasn't there that first morning, going to the tomb with the spices? She wasn't. She's not listed in the group of women that went. Why? Because she knew he wouldn't be there. Because she had heard with ears to hear the truth that Jesus had spoke. She listened with ears to hear. And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Do we have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear? Have you heard this morning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe it? Do you take it in? Does your sin concern you? Is it something that bothers you, or do you just brush it aside as though it's nothing? Do you listen more to the world and the lies that they tell, the distractions that they want to put before you, that say, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no God? That's what they're saying over and over and over again to distract you from the truth that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And there is only one of them. There has only ever been one, and there will only ever be one. And it's Jesus Christ the righteous. Do you believe that I've spoken to you the truth from God's Word? It should change you. It should alter who you are and how you behave yourself. It certainly did for Mary. It should have for the others. Eventually it did, as he appears to them. And they come to faith and they see Christ for who he is, the Savior of sinners. Do you believe that the Bible is God's Word? That it's his commands? That it is his communication to you? Do you take it seriously enough to read it? Beyond on a Sunday morning when the preacher is reading it out, or a Sunday evening? Do you read it for yourself? Do you wrestle over it? Or do you go home and you put something else in your ear and listen to that instead? Because the Spirit of God wants you to chew on these things. Because this is real. This is the Word of God. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And the only Savior is real. And he is the one that has gone to the cross, and he is the one that we celebrate, that he is risen indeed, that we believe the words that were spoken. We haven't seen him. We don't have to go as Thomas went. We're not waiting to see him in the flesh to believe him. We believe that these words are true. Why? Because we have ears to hear what the Spirit says. That this is indeed the Word of God. That Jesus is indeed the Son of God who went to the cross to die on my behalf. To pay my price. And not only to pay my price and to take my sin, but to give me his righteousness. So that I might live with him throughout eternity. That is the reward. That is the great thing that I look forward to. Because that's what the Scripture teaches. Do you know it? Do you believe it? Do you have ears to hear? We point you to Jesus Christ today. Amen. Take your hymnals, if you will, and turn to number 267. 267. Christ the Lord is risen today.